Imagine, if you will, a time before time, 13.7 billion years ago. The four fundamental forces, that's gravity, electromagnetism, the strong nuclear force, and the weak nuclear force, abide, properly speaking, as a single unified force with no differentiation. Everything that is huddled tightly together. The universe at this time, which can't really properly yet be described as a universe, is the size of a pinprick. All is static and immobile. And then at approximately 10 to the negative 36 seconds, something occurs that changes everything. Gravity and the strong nuclear force, they begin to wiggle and shimmy, separating from their fellows and causing a burst of expansion that overtakes the void. The power of that moment is incalculable and ultimately indescribable. Within minutes, the building blocks of our cosmos form and are scattered, and light courses outward, shining where once there was only darkness. We call this event the Big Bang. It is a creation story. Just as surely as Genesis 1 or the prologue to John's Gospel are creation stories. It is an instant of cosmic change. And from that instant forward, nothing would be the same. Well, today in Acts, we read about an instant 2,000 years ago, 50 days after Easter. We're told that on that day, the disciples of Jesus have gathered together in one place. They are confused and not a little scared. See, earlier, Jesus, who was crucified, had been resurrected. Jesus had returned to these same disciples and taught them. But then Jesus ascended to the Father, and now the disciples are for a second time left bereft. And so today they are gathered close together for comfort and for support. They're huddled so tightly as to be scarcely bigger than a pinprick on the face of the earth. And then Luke tells us in Acts, suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were staying. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Though Luke tries his best to depict this scene, the power of the instant the Holy Spirit shows up in Jerusalem is incalculable. It's ultimately indescribable. Eugene Peterson does a good job of trying. Peterson calls the wind that enters that room gale force. And he says that the Holy Spirit spread through the disciples' ranks like a wildfire. That's a pretty good mental image. It also underscores for us just how underwhelming our most common tagline for Pentecost is. What do we often call Pentecost? Anyone? The birthday of the church. The birthday of the church? That's so domestic. That is so tame. Pentecost is the big bang of the church. What the Spirit is up to is an act of creation, or better yet, recreation. That gale force wind reminds us of the mighty wind that moves over the chaos in Genesis 1. That fire, it reminds us of the burning bush that will not be consumed, or that pillar of fire that guides the Israelites through 40 years in the wilderness in Exodus. So who is recreated at Pentecost? As our own Bishop Doyle points out in his most recent book, it is at this Pentecost moment that the disciples, that's what they've been called up until now, become apostles. See, that's a word we've not encountered in the New Testament until now. Disciples are those who sit stationary in one place to listen and learn. But apostles, they're those who start to wiggle free from their stasis, who are scattered and sent forth, like those elements and stars that pulse forth from the Big Bang, to build something that's cosmically true and to shine light into dark places. Bishop Doyle says that on that first Pentecost, God pours out God's recreative fire that the apostles may be dispersed and go out. God disperses the disciples so that the gospel story of God in Christ might be shared with all people. And the rest of the book of Acts is the story of how they go and who they go to and how they share God's love. See, they now speak the language of God's love. It's a cosmic and a universal language which can be miraculously understood by anyone who hears it. The power of the Spirit that now flows through Peter and the others really does recreate them. Where they were huddled in fear, they now stand tall in courage. Where they were mute, they now find their voice. Where they were insignificant pinpricks on the face of the earth, they become supernova. And so here we are on this day of Pentecost. We are literally about to be sent out of this cathedral. Tomorrow, the pews in this place will be removed. The brass will be stored away, and we'll get ready for an exoskeleton of scaffolding to be erected around this entire building. Beginning next Sunday and continuing until Rally Day in August, we will travel across to the cloister and worship in Reynolds Hall. And as spring moves into summer, many of us will also travel at some point to places near or far. And lest we forget, each of us will be traveling in a world that is increasingly devoid of words that reflect God's love. What should we do about these things? Well, on this day of all days, we need not wonder. A chapter earlier than today's reading in Acts, when Jesus ascends to God, Jesus says to the disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to the ends of the earth." Well, today, the Holy Spirit has arrived. The Big Bang has happened, and we are in the very first moments when the building blocks of faith are forming in us. When heat and power are rising, and when we begin to wiggle and shimmy in our seats like these children about to be baptized, ready to be scattered and sent forth into the world. This season, we are being recreated from disciples to apostles. We who may have been content until now simply to receive from Jesus, who may have been huddled and mute, are being given courage. And even Episcopalians are being given voice. Bishop Doyle muses, "Imagine the many more who are transformed because that day the mighty wind shook that building and pushed the followers of Jesus out into the world." Well, I'll add to that. Imagine how many more can be transformed when we go from this place out into the world. And if you don't believe me, Just check out what's happened on the internet in the 24 hours since our Bishop Michael Curry gave that sermon to the royal family. We're going to begin right now. We're going to baptize four little ones and bind them as the newest elements in the life of the church. But what will happen in the minutes and hours and days after that? Where will you go? What will your voice be from this place? When we are sent from here, how will we build grace upon grace and shine light into the darkness? Amen.